15. I'm going to start reading in verse 21. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all your prayers. Thank you for all your giving towards phase two. The floors in the sanctuary are polished now. We're just about ready to start installing the seats in the sanctuary. For acoustic reasons, underneath the seats, it's polished floor. The aisles, the altar will be carpeted, and we finished polishing the floor. We're just doing a little work up in the ceiling, some painting and buttoning some things up. Once the seats go in, we can't move the lifts around the room so easily and get up to the ceiling. So just a little bit more work up top, and we're ready to start installing the seats in the auditorium. The fire marshal was here on Friday morning for a preliminary walkthrough of the building. And in this whole process, the fire marshal's the real wild card. He has the authority, when he looks at the building, to decide that something, he doesn't like it, it's not safe, it doesn't meet what he's looking for. And no matter what's been drawn on the plans and what's been agreed upon, he has the authority to say, I don't like it, you have to change it. He loved the building. He requested no changes whatsoever. And so that was wonderful news. He's coming back in 2 weeks with the building department for their preliminary inspection, and so we're marching forward towards getting the temporary certificate of occupancy. So thank you, thank you, thank you for your praying. Thank you for your giving. We have just a little bit of need left. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes, but thank you for that. All right, look with me. Matthew chapter 15, going to start reading in verse 21. Matthew 15, verse 21, a mom with mega faith. The Bible says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Those are towns in southern Lebanon on the seacoast. And look, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying and crying and crying, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. But Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came and urged him, Lord, send her away, for she keeps crying and crying after us. But he answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. But he replied, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she answered. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. The word great is mega in Greek. You have mega faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. May God bless the reading of his word. How many of you wish that you could just get out of the cold and go somewhere warm right now? If you could go somewhere warm, where would you go? Would you go Philippines? All right, well, there you have it. Would you go to the Caribbean? Would you go to Hawaii? Bali? I've been to Bali. It's kind of a dump. Would you go to Fiji? How about the Mediterranean? In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus goes for a little Mediterranean getaway with the disciples. From Galilee in northern Israel, Jesus slips across the border into the coastal towns of southern Lebanon. It's beautiful there. If you've ever been to California and you've seen the hills and the beautiful cedar trees and the ocean, that's very much like the coast of southern Lebanon. Matthew says that Jesus withdraws from Galilee. That word means to take refuge. Jesus is going away for a rest for a couple of months in the summer. He is getting away. He's not getting away from the cold. He's getting away from the heat. But there are several reasons for Jesus' vacation. First of all, Jesus has just come through a very intense season of ministry. The crowds in Galilee kept growing and growing, and they kept pursuing him so that Jesus couldn't get any rest. The Bible says that he didn't even have time to eat some days. When Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, was executed, Jesus tried to get away, but the crowds kept pursuing him, so he couldn't even mourn in peace for a moment. Another thing is the controversy around Jesus was rapidly intensifying. In the opening verses of Matthew 15, Jesus goes 15 rounds with the Jewish leaders. They're getting more and more angry with him. There are people who are trying to politicize his ministry. He came to start a salvation movement, and there are people who are trying to turn it into a political movement. And of course, Herod Antipas had just executed Jesus' cousin, John. And so there was a threat that Antipas might consider Jesus guilty by association. But more than any of those things, Jesus is getting ready to go to Jerusalem for the Passover. Jesus is getting ready to go offer his life on the cross as God's Passover lamb that takes away the sins of the world. He's getting ready for the final days of his earthly ministry. Lent is beginning in just a couple weeks in February, and during the season of Lent, Pastor Nick and I are going to be doing a series called The Last Days of Jesus. Each Sunday during Lent, we're going to be taking a closer look at one of the days of the Passion Week leading up to Easter. Every message is going to be about Jesus. Every service, there's going to be an opportunity for people to believe on Jesus. So maybe you can start praying about bringing some folks with you during Lent for that series. Jesus has just finished an intense season of ministry, and he's about to enter the most intense trial of his life. So he wants to take a rest. He takes his closest friends and he rents a house on the ocean, and he doesn't want anyone to know that he's there. Mark records this same vacation, and Mark says that Jesus wanted to keep his presence a secret. But how many of you know when Jesus is in the house, it's impossible to keep it a secret? Like perfume always betrays itself, he whose name is perfume poured out cannot be hidden. A mom on a mission finds out that Jesus is there. And she gives Jesus and the disciples no rest until Jesus delivers her young daughter from a tormenting spirit. Do you know that this mom is one of only two people that Jesus ever commended for having great faith, mega faith? Ironically, both of those people were Gentiles. They were not Jewish people. Last week we talked about the Capernaum centurion, a man with militant faith. Today I want to talk about this Lebanese mom on a mission, a mom with mega faith. Right now we've been talking about stories of faith. We've been looking at the heroes of the Bible, and we've been looking at the defining moments of faith in their lives, and we've been learning from them. We've been getting encouragement. You see, this is a defining moment of faith for our congregation. We're just a couple weeks away now from moving into our new sanctuary, a dream that has been 20 years in the making. I want to give you a really encouraging update this morning. Last fall, about 6 months ago, we were in need of $500,000 cash just to finish the upper level, the sanctuary level of the building, and we needed about another $500,000 to finish the lower level. The need was $1.1 or $1.2 million all in. Because of your sacrificial giving, and because the Lord has helped us miraculously to save money, the cash that we need to finish the sanctuary is now just $42,000. Beloved, I want to tell you that is a miracle. Now, there's about $80,000 of acoustic treatment that the room needs, fabric, acoustic panels. There's some equipment that goes along with that. That's not included in that number, but we can move into the sanctuary and we can start using it while we work on that. We'll just have to deal a little bit with a little reverb here and there till we get that fixed. The need to finish the lower level is down to about $100,000. I want to tell you, from where we were 6 months ago to where we are today is an absolute miracle of God, and we give him all the glory. This has been a season of faith, and when we need faith, we go to the Word of God. looking at this Lebanese mom on a mission, I see three things that she shows us about mega faith, and I want to share about it with you quickly today. What does this mom show us about mega faith? First of all, she shows us what mega faith is like. She shows us what mega faith is like. When Jesus commended the Capernaum centurion and the Lebanese mom for having great faith or mega faith, Jesus was not referring to the quantity of their faith. He was referring to the quality of their faith. Beloved, listen, it is not the amount that counts. It is the potency of your faith. That's why Jesus said all you need is a little bit of faith, just the size of a mustard seed, and you can move mountains. Someone who has been a believer in Jesus for just one day can have faith that is as potent as someone who's known him for a lifetime. So what are some of the qualities of mega faith? Well, the first thing that this mom shows us is that mega faith is properly informed. Mega faith is informed. Beloved, I want you to know that mega faith is something far greater than optimism. It's something far greater than positivism. It's something greater than hopefulness and resolve, as important as those things are. It's far greater than faith in the power of faith. Mega faith has an object, and the object is Jesus. The reason that we're about to move into phase two is not because we believed that somehow everything would work out if we just kept hoping and believing. The reason we're about to move into phase two is because we believe that Jesus is more than able to keep his word of promise when he said, "I will build my church." Mega faith is informed about Jesus. Last week we talked about the Capernaum centurion. He never saw Jesus, but based on what he heard, he believed on Jesus. In the same way, Mark says that this Lebanese mom heard about Jesus, and based on what she heard, this Gentile idol worshiper came to believe. Both Matthew and Mark record that while Jesus was ministering in Galilee, large crowds of people came from southern Lebanon to hear him. They brought large numbers of sick people to Jesus, and he healed them. So the word had already spread through southern Lebanon, and it reached the ears of this mom. Based on what she heard about Jesus, she came to believe that he is Lord. In Matthew's gospel, this mom calls Jesus Lord three times. In the entire gospel of Mark, the only time Jesus is called Lord is on the lips of this Gentile mom. Lord means that she embraced Jesus' identity, his deity. It means that she believed him to be more than just an ordinary man, that she believed him to be someone supernatural sent by God. Based on what she heard, she also came to believe that Jesus is the Son of David. It was known all over the Roman Empire, and especially in neighboring Lebanon, that the Jewish people were waiting for their Messiah. The prophecies about him were widely known, that the Messiah would heal the sick and feed the hungry and deliver the oppressed, and that he would set up a worldwide kingdom. She was a Gentile woman, but based on what she heard, she came to believe that Jesus is that Messiah. Son of David means that she embraced his earthly mission. She believed that he was the son promised by the Jewish prophets, that he is the seed of Abraham who would bring God's blessing to all nations. Sure, there was lots she didn't understand yet. There's lots she didn't understand about the incarnation and the hypostatic union. Jesus is 100% God and 100% man at the same time. There's lots we still don't understand about it. And we have the whole New Testament. But she believed in the heavenly origin and in the earthly ministry of Jesus. And that is the essence of mega faith. Mega faith is informed about Jesus. It has heard about Jesus, and it believes that he is Lord and he is the Messiah. Yeah. What are some of the qualities of mega faith? Mega faith is informed, and this mom shows us that mega faith is intelligent. The crux of this story is the dialogue between Jesus and this mom. She is rebuffed three times, but she comes out with a witty reply that profoundly moves Jesus. We're going to look at that in a minute, but right now, this is what I want you to see. Beyond quick wit, the woman's reply to Jesus reveals a deep level of theological reflection on her part. She heard about Jesus, and she meditated thoughtfully about what she heard. She heard the reports about Jesus healing the sick and feeding the poor and opening the eyes of the blind, and she compared it to the little bit of Jewish scripture that she knew. She heard about Jesus, and she inquired mentally further about him. She thought about everything she had been told. Perhaps she even sought out conversations with others who knew more about the Messiah than she did. Maybe she asked her circle of friends, "What have you heard about Messiah?" There was a very large Jewish community in southern Lebanon that they weren't so reluctant to talk to their Gentile neighbors as the Jews in Israel. So maybe she asked her Jewish neighbors, "Tell me about your Messiah." Wherever she got her information, it's clear that she had thought about Jesus, because her swift reply reveals not only quick wit, but critical reflection. When Jesus rebuffed her not once, not twice, but three times, she was undaunted. When Jesus told her, "I was only sent for the Jewish people," she was undeterred. Why? Because she had reflected on the Jewish Messiah, and she had come to the conclusion and the conviction that if Jesus really was he, then Jesus could help her, and he would. She had reflected on Messiah, and she had come to the conclusion and the conviction that eventually Messiah would bless all the Gentiles, so why not start with a Lebanese mom? Mega faith doesn't refer to the quantity of our faith. It refers to the quality of our faith. Mega faith is informed. It has heard about Jesus, and it's intelligent. It has inquired further about Jesus, and it has reflected critically, and it has reached some faith conclusions, and it has formed some faith convictions. That's good preaching right there. Back when Larry King was still on the air, I happened to catch him interviewing two different television preachers on two different days. The first was a famous preacher. If I said his name, you would all know his name. And Larry King asked this man, "Is Jesus the only way to heaven?" And the famous preacher choked on the question. He dithered a little bit here and there, and finally he got out, "Jesus is the only way for me." You know, I don't really ever care to be interviewed by CNN, but if you're a famous preacher, and you sit down with Larry King, how are you unprepared to answer that question? The likelihood that it's going to come up is pretty much 100%. Amen. The second preacher was Franklin Graham. Larry King put the same question to him: "Is Jesus the only way to heaven?" And without skipping a beat, Franklin Graham launched into one of the most concise and gracious presentations of the gospel that I heard. Without even blinking, he said, "God has done the most loving thing that he could ever do. God has sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And here's the thing that impressed me about Franklin Graham's answer. It wasn't contrived. It wasn't rehearsed. It wasn't engineered to walk the fence and not offend anybody. It just flowed right out of him intuitively. Franklin Graham's answer was the product of critical theological reflection. His answer revealed that he had come to some faith conclusions, and he had formed some faith convictions. And that's just like the Lebanese mom's answer to Jesus. She had thought a lot about Jesus. She had arrived at some conclusions about him. She had some forms, some convictions. If he really is Lord and Son of David, then there's no way that he wouldn't help her. Indeed, Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me, I will never push away." She had already reached that conclusion on her own, and out of her mouth came an unrehearsed reply that was not only witty, but it was full of informed and intelligent faith. So how does our faith measure up to hers? Can I tell you, it doesn't really matter how long you've had faith in Jesus. Maybe you were born into a Christian family. Maybe you were raised in the church. But what have you done with your faith? What have you done to inform yourself about Jesus? What have you done to inquire further about him? Have you reflected on him? Have you drawn some faith conclusions? Are there some faith convictions in your heart? Peter said, always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks you, why are you so full of hope? Are you ready to be interviewed by Larry King? This Lebanese mom, she was. What does a mom with mega faith show us? First, she shows us what mega faith is like. Secondly, she shows us how mega faith manifests. How mega faith manifests. Now, I want you all to get the picture. I want you to enter into the text with me. Enter into the story. Here's poor Jesus. All he wants to do is get some rest on vacation. And this Lebanese mom on a mission shows up on his doorstep. Now, I've had a privilege of traveling a little bit here and there. And one thing that strikes me when I travel is not how different people are, but how much alike we all are. On every continent, in every culture, in every climate, a mom on a mission is the same. Her little daughter was sick, tormented by an evil spirit, and this mom was determined to get help for her. Can I just pause here to point something out to you? Jesus commended this woman for having mega faith, but she still had problems at home. Beloved, listen to me. You can have mega faith and still have problems at home. You can have mega faith and still not be on the same page with your spouse. Where was her husband? Why was he not at his wife's side pleading with Jesus? Why wasn't he leading the effort? You can have mega faith and still have tension at home, strife at home. You can have mega faith and still someone in your house gets sick. You can have mega faith and one of your kids gets in trouble. The enemy gets your son or your daughter in his grip. Struggles at home do not mean that you have no faith or weak faith. So watch how this mom's mega faith manifests. First of all, she shows us that mega faith encompasses our whole being. This mom shows us that mega faith, it energizes and engages every part of us. Yes, mega faith, it informs our intellect, but mega faith is also impassioned. It engages our emotions. Mega faith makes us determined. It engages our will. It energizes our bodies. It causes our mouths to move, our hands to move, our feet to move. So here's Jesus trying to get a rest. And the Bible says that this Lebanese mom outside kept on shouting and shouting and shouting. The verbs in Greek in these verses are in a continuous form, which means the action keeps happening over and over and over again. She's outside, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." But Jesus doesn't answer a single word. The church father Chrysostom wrote, "Jesus, the Word, has no word." Finally, the disciples can't take it anymore. They come to Jesus, they say, "Jesus, send her away already. She keeps shouting at us." Apparently, when Jesus didn't answer, she started harassing the disciples. "Get him to help me. Get him to help me. Get him to help me." I'm in agreement with the majority of commentators who believe that what Jesus meant, what the disciples meant here was, Lord, heal her and send her home in peace. That they had never not seen Jesus help someone. Come on, Jesus, just get it over with so we can get back to chillaxing here. That the Bible says the disciples kept on urging him, send her away, send her away. It's all continuous. Send her away, send her away. So I want you to get the picture with me, all right? Jesus is on vacation. And outside is a screeching woman who won't shut up. And inside are 12 complaining men who won't shut up. Anybody ever had a vacation like that? It's like the old Beach Boys song, let me go home, please. This is the worst trip I've ever been on. I have to tell you, I understood my father so much more after I became a father myself. There have been a few times on family vacation that I've said, I get you now, Dad, I get you. All I want to do is rest, and no one is happy. You know, the Bible says there's going to be a half hour of silence in heaven. Do you know who the half hour of silence is for? It's for Jesus. It's for every Christian man who ever said on family vacation, all I want is a half hour of peace. Just one half hour, just 30 minutes. One screeching woman and 12 complaining men, and the word has no word. Matthew uses continuous verbs even for Jesus' silence. So apparently this thing, it went on for a while. Why was Jesus silent? I would suggest to you it's not because he's uncaring. It's not because he's cruel. I would suggest to you that Jesus was trying to draw out the faith of the woman and draw out the faith of disciples. The Bible doesn't say that he didn't answer. The Bible says that his answer was silence. But beloved, listen, sometimes we call out to the Lord and he's silent and we say he didn't answer. His answer is silent. He's trying to draw out their faith a little bit. She had mega faith. She had great faith. By comparison, Jesus chided the disciples many times for having too little faith. It's not the quantity of faith, it's the quality of faith. Based on the very little she knew, she was convinced about Jesus. Based on how much the disciples knew, were they as convinced as she? Finally, Jesus breaks his silence and he speaks to the disciples, but his comment was meant for the mom. Do you ever have somebody make a sideways comment to you? You know, they address it to a third party, but they're really zinging you. For 11 years that we lived here in Greenwich, we had to park out on the street. Our little apartment, our first apartment that we had, was on the second floor of a two-family house, and we had to park out. I pray, listen, when it snows, I pray for you who have to park on this. I remember how hard it was. You spend half a day digging out a parking spot, and then some ungrateful person comes and parks right in it. They know you always park your car there. They know you cleared it, and they don't care. They just park it in. We 5-6 years, we lived in this apartment, parked on the street, and then we bought our first little house, and it had no driveway. And so we had to park out on the street again, and it was a busy little street. Across the street was a man who had a landscaping business. He had three huge trucks, and he parked them out on the street, and there was nowhere to park. It was frustrating. One morning, I came out my front door, and my next-door neighbor was in her front yard, and she called across the street to the landscaper, and she said, it's too bad the neighbors around here have to call the police on each other and complain. Apparently, someone had called and complained about the landscaping trucks, and she thought it was me. Now, I'm a little slow on the uptake, but I figured out that comment was addressed to him, but it was meant for me. So I trotted across the street, and I said to Richie, my neighbor across the street, I said, Richie, I didn't call the police on you. I would never do that. And he said to me, I know, Pastor. He said, I know if you had a problem, you'd talk to me man to man. By the way, Richie could break me in half. Jesus addresses his disciples, but his comment is meant for the Lebanese mom. I was only sent to the lost house that are Israel. Jesus is revealing that his earthly ministry was limited in scope. For one thing, it was limited by his physical body, by his human body. Jesus could only, before he was risen from the dead, Jesus could only minister to those within his reach. That's why he said to the disciples, he said, the time is coming after I'm risen that the things you've seen me do, you shall do, and greater than these. I don't believe that Jesus meant qualitatively. I believe he meant quantitatively. It's a little hard to improve on raising a guy from the grave who's been dead for 3 days. But Jesus, when he was a man, he could only minister to those within his reach, and his body even gave out at times. He needed rest. He needed food. He was exhausted at times. He was limited by that humanity. Now he has 2 billion disciples to go out there and do his works in his name. Not only was Jesus limited by his body, but he was limited by the Father's plan of salvation. God's plan was for salvation to come first to the Jewish people and then to the rest of the world. God did have a plan to bring salvation to the Lebanese people and all people, but it wasn't time yet. So Jesus gives this answer because he wanted to see what both the disciples and the mom would do with it. Maybe the disciples were good with that answer, but not the mom on a mission. She shows us that not only does mega faith encompass our whole being, but she shows us that mega faith is creatively determined. Maybe the disciples would take no for an answer, but not this mom. She approached Jesus and she began worshiping him. The verb in Greek means she kept bowing down again and again and again. She was on her knees and she kept pressing her forehead again and again and again to the ground. And she kept saying over and over, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Yes. Beloved, sometimes we cry out to the Lord for help and it seems like the only answer we get is silence. The word has no word for us. But I want to tell you, when God is silent, worship him. When God is silent, enter into his presence, giving him the glory that is due his name. When God is silent, call on his name. The mom only knew 2 titles for Jesus, but she believed those 2 titles with her whole heart. We know a lot more than 2 titles for Jesus, but are we as convinced as she that God is able to do what his very name promises? When God is silent, worship him. Worship Jehovah Jireh when you need his provision. Worship Jehovah Rapha when you need healing. Worship Jehovah Shalom when you're anxious and you need peace. Worship Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, when you're under attack and you need a shield. Worship Jehovah Makadashakem, the Lord our sanctifier, when you need freedom from sin. Worship Jehovah Shammah when you're struggling with loneliness. The Lord is with us. Worship Jehovah Raha, the Lord is my shepherd, when you need God. Worship Jehovah Sidkenu. The Lord is my righteousness when the enemy tells you you're not worthy. When God is silent, enter into his presence, worshiping him and calling on his name. Finally, Jesus speaks directly to the mom. He says to her, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Now, just as a side note, for those of you who are interested in these kind of things, not everybody is, but just this is for free, it's probable that Jesus spoke Greek as well as Aramaic. This was a Greek-speaking woman. She certainly did not know Aramaic. Jesus addressed her directly, which means that Jesus spoke to her in Greek. Jesus was no dummy. He also answered Pilate in Latin, but we'll save that for another day. It's impossible to understand Jesus' answer here without understanding a couple things. First of all, the Christian writer, if you like Max Lucado has an absolutely beautiful piece of writing on this story. And Max Lucado says it's impossible to understand Jesus' answer unless we understand that Jesus knew how to smile. Jesus was not being cruel to this woman. He was being playful with her. Jesus had a twinkle in his eye. He had a little curl of a suppressed smile in the corner of his mouth when he gave this answer. Second, it's impossible to understand this answer and her retort to Jesus unless we understand Middle Eastern proverbs and Middle Eastern bantering and bartering. What sounds to our Western ears like an insult was to her Eastern ears an invitation to enter into negotiation. Jesus' answer was a proverb that speaks about priorities. Now, it is true that the Jewish people referred to Gentiles pejoratively as dogs. That's because the Jews only ate kosher food, clean food. The Gentiles ate anything, and so they called them dogs because dogs will eat anything. But that's not at all the word that Jesus uses here addressing this woman. Jesus used a word for a dog that means a small little house pet, a little lap dog, a little beloved member of the family, albeit a four-legged one, one that belongs in the house and has its place in the house. To give the children's bread to dogs is a proverb. It means your priorities are out of whack. You're not taking care of business in the right order. In our house, our three kids get three square meals a day. Mommy makes sure of it. They get protein, starch, leafy green vegetables, and fruits at every meal. Mommy sees to it. Our dog, Jack the mangy beast, gets fed whenever someone finally remembers. My mother-in-law used to get so mad at us. She's a great lover of dogs. She used to get so mad. She said, I wouldn't want to be a dog in this house. Every morning and every evening, the question circulates around. Did anybody feed the dog? Did anybody feed? Ben, did you feed the? Maddie, did you feed? Lolly, Mommy, did you feed the dog? Nobody fed the dog. Children first, dogs second. That's the order. Jesus' answer to this Lebanese mom was very much like his conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well. You remember Jesus said to her, woman, salvation is from the Jews, but the time is coming and now is when those who worship him worship in spirit and truth. So this is what this answer means. It's not right to take the bread and give it to the dogs. It means your time is coming, but it's not yet. That's when this mom's mega faith gave a reply that was creatively determined. She took Jesus' own words and she preached them right back at him. Don't you hate it when people preach your own words back to you? My kids preach my own words back to me all the time. Catch me behaving bad and they say, Dad, you said this. For the last several months, the board has been preaching my sermons back to me. I'm going to tell you the truth. The last 6 months have been really like the toughest in 21 years here trying to finish this thing. And we've had board meetings that have run. We had one this last week that ran to 1 o'clock in the morning trying to figure things out. And the board, when they get overly tired, start preaching my sermons on faith back to me. Drives me crazy. The mom preached Jesus' own words back to him. Yes, Lord, I understand. But while the children are being fed, there is still scraps for the dogs. I understand, Lord, that God has a plan, that he has an order, that God has priorities, that the children of privilege first. But while you're here, you can toss me a bite. There's plenty for everybody. You are the Lord of all the earth. You care for everyone under your roof, that the children of privilege as well as the house pets, you are the Son of David, come to establish a worldwide kingdom of blessing. And while you're here with me, you can give me a crumb. It was an answer that was not only witty, but it was full of deep conviction about Jesus. And Jesus didn't hate it, he loved it. It moved him. He said, oh, woman, it's an expression of being moved deeply in his heart. He said, you have mega faith, request granted. And at that very moment, that woman's daughter was delivered and healed. What does the mom with mega faith show us? She shows us what mega faith is like. She shows us how mega faith manifests. Finally, she shows us what mega faith receives. Everybody look at me. I want you to catch this. Mega faith appropriates blessings that belong to a future era now. Look at me. Because it's wordy, but it's true. And this is good right here. It's good preaching. Look at me. Mega faith appropriates blessings that belong to a future era now. Remember, before Jesus started his public ministry, he went to a wedding with his mother. And the wedding couple ran out of wine. And Mary came to Jesus. She said, do something. And Jesus said, Mom, it's not my time yet. It was just a little premature for Jesus to begin performing miracles. It was just a little early. It wasn't quite time for that yet, but his mother prevailed on him. Jewish mothers are good for that. Italian moms too. In the same way, this Lebanese mother, she persuaded Jesus to release a blessing prematurely. In the plan of God, the gospel would come very soon to the Lebanese people. After Jesus was crucified and risen again, Peter would come to Lebanon full of the Holy Spirit, and a great revival would break out in the home of a soldier named Cornelius. But it wasn't time just yet. But the mega faith of this mom, she secured a crumb prematurely. Beloved, I want to tell you that it's not too long now, and another era is about to begin. In that era, there is no more pain. There are no more tears. There is no more sickness. There is no more death. In that era, there is no more sin. There's no more racism. There's no more oppression. There's no more crime. There's no more conflict. There's no more war. In that era, there is justice. In that era, there is the restoration of all things. In that era, Jesus is Lord, and there is no challenger. That era hasn't come yet, but by mega faith, we can appropriate some of the blessings of that era now. Do you know what this story tells us? It tells us that healing is the children's bread. And by faith, we can appropriate healing now. Freedom from the enemy's harassment is the children's bread. And by faith, we can appropriate deliverance now. Freedom from dysfunction. Freedom from addiction. Freedom from phobias and fears. Freedom from disorders of every kind. It's the children's bread. And we can appropriate it now. Answered prayer is the children's bread. Peace in your house is the children's bread. A half hour of silence is the children's bread. Fun family vacations is the children's bread. Healthy and happy and holy sons and daughters is the children's bread. Blessed future generations of your family. God's blessing on your sons and your daughters and your grandsons and your granddaughters and your great-grandchildren. It's the children's bread, and we can appropriate it now by faith. What does mega faith receive? It appropriates future blessings now. Second, mega faith turns buts into thens. In this story, there's a but. The mom kept screeching and screeching, but Jesus answered with silence. The disciples kept complaining and complaining, but Jesus answered, I've only been sent to Israel. The woman kept bowing and pleading, Lord, help me. But Jesus answered, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. And then the woman answered with mega faith, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table. And then Jesus said, oh, woman, your request is granted. Her faith turned but into a then. Beloved, her faith turned delays into a divine dispatch. Her faith turned denials into it's done. Listen, I have a word for you this morning. Maybe like this Lebanese mom, you've been petitioning God and petitioning God for a breakthrough, and so far it's been but. You've been petitioning God, but there has been no word from the Word. You've been petitioning God, but you've been delayed again and again. You've been petitioning God, but you've been denied. Listen, when God is silent, worship Him. Inform your faith. Learn His names. Call on Him by name. Pray God's word back to Him. Jesus, you said healing is the children's bread. You said answered prayer is the children's bread. You said peace at home is the children's bread. You said, I will build my church. It's the children's bread. Press into Jesus with mega faith. And 2018, I speak over you prophetically in the name of Jesus. 2018 is going to be the year that your but turns into then. What does mega faith receive? It appropriates future blessings now, turns your butts into thens. Finally, listen, I want you to catch this. This is so cool. Mega faith releases seasons of blessings on our household, on our community, and on the entire region. Ladies, listen to me especially. This is word for everybody. It's for the men and the women. But ladies, I feel Holy Spirit has a word for our women in this church. This mom was a door opener. Her faith in Jesus opened the door to a revival in the entire community, in the entire region. Don't have time to read the last 10 verses of Matthew 15. You can read them at home, but you'll find out that after her daughter got her miracle, after this woman demonstrated mega faith, Jesus did something amazing. Now didn't Jesus say, I've only been sent to the house of Israel? Didn't Jesus say, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs? God has established a pattern. There's an order. There's a priority. He has a plan. Jews first and then the Gentiles. Didn't Jesus say that? But after this woman moved him with her faith, he spent the next 3 or 4 months in Gentile lands ministering to Gentile people. Pastor Ruth, listen to this. They brought great numbers of lame and blind and crippled and deaf mute people to Jesus. And Jesus healed them all. And the Gentile people gave glory to the God of Israel. Listen to me. Listen. One little dog got a scrap from the master's table, and now the children's bread is being distributed to the Gentiles by the handful. Jesus' final act before crossing back into Galilee and heading for the cross is to miraculously feed. It's at the end of Matthew 15. He miraculously feeds a huge crowd with 7 loaves and 5 fish. 7 is an important number that speaks about Gentiles. Matthew says there were 4,000 men in the crowd, plus women and children. So what was the size of that crowd? I don't know, 12,000, 16,000, 20,000. Well, all of them were Gentile people. And they ate the children's bread until Matthew says they were fully satisfied. All because one little house dog, one little Lebanese mom on a mission had mega faith. The door was opened for the children's bread to come to thousands and thousands and thousands. Beloved, listen to me. Phase 2, it is not for us. It's not for me. It's not for Glenn Harvison. Somebody kind of took a mean shot at me this last week. I'm glad you got your big fancy building. Like I built it for myself. It's not for me. It's not for this congregation. It's not for the comfort or the convenience of this congregation. Here's what this building is for. It's for our community and it's for our region. It's so that our faith in finishing this thing will be a door opener so that thousands and thousands and thousands of people can taste the children's bread and be satisfied in Jesus. A mom with mega faith. She shows us what mega faith is like. She shows us how mega faith manifests and what mega faith receives. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place?